Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Yeah, Maria Wearing had a chance to sit down with the Koop family who put in a home chapel. Let's listen to that conversation.
Brendan and Molly, thank you so much for talking with me today. So in March, right before the pandemic upended our lives, I got the chance to visit your home and meet your family, your eight kids, and see your chapel in person. It's beautiful, and it reminds me of something you'd see in a side chapel in a church in Rome. And it clearly wasn't a small undertaking or done on a whim. Can you take me back to what inspired you to create it in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Brendan, and thanks for having us. I can talk for a little bit, and then Molly can chime in if I missed anything. But it really was a dream of ours to have a family chapel space for many, many years, going back to the beginning of our marriage. And slowly, it kind of, we knew it was from the Lord when it was, it just never went away, this desire to have a space like this for prayer in our family. And he continued to seem to give us ways of doing it and implementing it. Not that it's for needed for everybody or even necessary strictly, but that he wanted it for our family. And so we tried to respond to that. My brother is an architect, and he designed our home eventually, the home that we're in now. And my other brother is a priest. So that's kind of a nice combination to have. And we eventually had our house with this additional room that was unfinished. And it was the exterior of the chapel. And that's was something that then I designed the interior because we had kind of a specific idea of what we wanted to do with that and slowly worked on it over the course of almost 5 years. So it was about 4.5 years to finish it, the interior of it. So 2015 was when the exterior structure was built. And then between 2015 and 2020 is when we finished it. And it's just something that I think we're confident is from the Lord. And it's something that we've really, especially in the year of 2020, have really benefited from in our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, you did a lot of the work on it yourself. Can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, it is definitely a neoclassical design. And part of that is just our love of church architecture. And we've been to Rome in the past. And you don't have to go to Rome. You know, even in our local archdiocese, the Cathedral of St. Paul, we love beautiful structures that lift your mind and heart to the Lord. And designing it under, I'm not an architect, but using the classical form made it, I you know, there's actually, everything is proportioned. And so kind of once you know a couple dimensions, and there's a number of great books out there that relate all parts of a classical architecture from just a few dimensions. So it made it, and I'm an engineer, and so I'm very familiar with how to use CAD software, computer-aided design software, and so I have an entire model of it in my computer, all the way down to the very last detail, including step by step. You know, I layered everything on there so that I could do it in the right order, so I wouldn't make a mistake or a major mistake. I made most of my mistakes in the model first, and then once I had that, it was just a long slog of many months of slowly building it. And we did it. It kind of was funny because my brother, Father Evan Koop, he would say it's kind of almost like building a cathedral, where, because halfway through we did start using it for prayer, and we even had some very simple masses in there, simple in terms of, you know, we had to put a table in there for the altar and have some candles, etc. But we did use it slow a few times along the way. But yeah, in the end, it's a neoclassical structure that where it's painted white trim everywhere. There's a walnut altar that I made in order to have a really beautiful wood look. There is a tabernacle there that we don't repose the Eucharist in there, but it should it ever be needed, and we did have one time during 2020 where it came in handy, where my brother was able to stay over with us, we could use it in a very rare circumstance like that. But it has pews that we've gotten from a old parish that was closed in southern Minnesota. And those pews were, I cut those down to the right length and remade the kneelers. And it has Stations of the Cross and statue of the Our Lady of Fatima and St. Joseph on either side of the altar. So if you walked in there, I think as you mentioned, it would look like a church. And frankly, it actually smells like a church too, because these pews were in this parish for many, many years, and the lacquer on the pews absorbed the incense that was used for masses. So it smells like an old parish when you walk in there. So it's kind of, it's a very comfortable space.
So you completed it in late December of 2019. You were able to have the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church on on January 1st.
Yes.
With your brother and your dad, who's a permanent deacon, assisting him. And then shortly after your chapel is done, COVID hits.
Yep.
So in March, parishes across the Archdiocese and the U.S., stop offering in-person masses, and many people didn't step foot in a church until May, when masses resumed here in person in a limited way. And some people still have not returned to in-person worship because of concerns about contracting the virus. But here you are with a chapel in your house. So tell me, what role did it take on in your lives, especially in those first months of the pandemic? And what was that, how did that, was it different than what you thought it would be because of COVID?
Go ahead, Molly.
Oh, sure. Well, certainly, like many parishes, our parish, the Church of St. Paul here in Ham Lake, was offering live stream masses, thankfully, to help keep our community connected. So we set up a little table in our chapel, and we would gather the family for mass as best we could to watch the live stream with our pastor, Father Jim Livingston, which was a beautiful gift to just unite our community, even though we were apart during that time. So we would watch the live stream together. And I think just being in a sacred space helped our children especially just focus. It's definitely hard for kids to watch Mass online or on television and feel like they are part of the worship. And so I think just being in a sacred space did help them during that time, helped our whole family. Fast forward to April, when it was becoming clear that Easter Mass would not be a possibility. Brendan's brother, Father Evan, had been studying in Rome at the time and was asked by the Archdiocese to come home. And so he came home from Rome, and his quarantine ended on the Wednesday of Holy Week. And so he was able to come and stay with our family through the Triduum and into Easter Sunday. And so we were able to have all of the Triduum liturgies in our home, which was just a beautiful gift after having been away from the Eucharist for many weeks. We celebrated Holy Thursday and Good Friday liturgies. And then we had special permission to celebrate Easter Vigil liturgy on Holy Saturday, which was just a huge blessing for our family.
Can you tell me what that looked like?
Sure. Brendan, why don't you?
Yeah, it was interesting. We actually debated whether we should light a fire outside or something like that and do that whole part of the rite. But it was just beautiful because we did have individual candles for every family member. And so we did, my brother chanted the Exultet at the beginning, where you would have a cantor or a priest actually sing the Exultet, which is a very long chanted piece and very beautiful. So my brother did that. And we had the lights off, just our candles going, tried to make sure the kids weren't dripping wax all over the place. and just had that experience of Easter Vigil, which is supposed to be in a parish, but this was an extremely rare circumstance where my brother could do it here at our house. And we had all the readings, all seven readings. So we had different family members doing the readings. There's so many of them that some of them had to do a couple readings. And then we had family members who were not able to attend Mass who were watching on a stream on our computer, which is in the back of the chapel. So we were able to have family members that could not participate actually watch and participate in our Mass that we were having.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, also after Holy Thursday liturgy, we were able to have an altar of repose. So we had the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle throughout that time. And different family members would go into the chapel alone and spend some time with the Lord. And I think back to just the first day of 2020 when we were celebrating Mass in there for the first time since the chapel had been completed. Certainly we never could have known what a gift and, you know, what a space this would be for our family. Certainly never imagined that we would be celebrating Easter liturgies in our home. We did also, as the time went on and First Communion was continually delayed at our parish, we received special permission to have our son Oliver receive his first Holy Communion at a liturgy in our home in May, which was also just a beautiful gift. We've been very, very blessed to not only have the chapel space, but also to have a family member who is able to, you know, help us with those liturgies as well.
Right, right. Your Father Coop being available is key to a lot of this.
Yes. he's called us the original Catholic Doomsday Preppers because we have this chapel and our own little envelope of people that we can draw from, but we're also on pastoral council at the Church of St. Paul, and yeah, we were joking at one of our fellow members was like, "Well, I hear we have a competing parish in the local area here now." But it's definitely a very big blessing to us, and something that is quite unique. Though we wouldn't we try not to like go on social media and be like, "Oh, we're having Mass again," you know, or things like that, because it is just, we know it's very rare and it doesn't, certainly not necessary for holiness. It's just something that's been a pure gift from the Lord. But we're not, you know, we just try to do what the Lord's asking us and not be, you know, sharing lots of things repeatedly on social media about, you know, what we're doing in there, so that, you know, that people don't feel like it's something that, oh, we should be doing that too, or it's just a calling that we had, and not something that we're super public about in that way.
Sure.
And certainly it was never our intention to build this chapel to replace our parish or to
right.
You know, this is our primary place where we celebrate liturgy or anything like that. It is for family prayer, but and we have the tabernacle there. We never thought we would be using it. Certainly, when we built it, we thought, well, we better have one just in case. So if the opportunity presents itself, that it's there. But we wouldn't ever want the responsibility of having it there permanently. And certainly, we need our community and we need our shepherd. And so, certainly our local parish is the primary place that we would celebrate any other time except during COVID, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking so much time to talk with me this afternoon. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a really nice weekend.
You too.
All right. That was Maria Waring sitting down with the Koop family about their chapel. When we come back, Paul and I have a number of things to share with you, so stay with us.